Because I want us to see Jesus. And I also want us to see how Jesus has used this church. 19 years. That's unbelievable that we've been here 19 years as a church. October 29th is the actual date. But since we're leaving, we won't see that date. I'm kidding. It's in a few days. But I just want to give God glory. And the only way I could really see to give God glory is have a few people share how glorious He is. Amen. And I would tell you, Connecting Point Church, I am not your normal pastor. I'll say that right up front. And I am, and this is not the normal church. If you come in here, you're going to get loved on. If you come in here, man, we're going to rally behind you. If you have, if you need help, we're going to be there. And, because here's what we realize is, man, we're just a bunch of people trying to love Jesus and get through life like everybody else. Amen. And, we're just trying to do it in a way that glorifies God. And, God is moving. Man, He's moving in such an amazing way. And especially as of late, I was thinking of the music. And what was that song, Buck? Ancient Days? Ancient Words. There you go. And we're standing back there. And Buck goes, remember when we were putting that up in iWorship on the video screens? It was karaoke. And I'm like, I know, man, isn't it so crazy? And then the talent that we have, you guys that get up here, our two worship teams, you guys are so awesome and you do an amazing job. And I'm so appreciative of that. Yeah, give them a hand. I am just so appreciative of the hard work that you guys put into it and praise Jesus and bring us to the throne through music. And I just want to say thank you all for that, man. I remember when Daryl met Daryl and then went him to Jesus, and then I'm discipling him, and we're working out in the middle of the field cutting wood and getting dragging trees out of the woods, and something was said about, oh, I used to play in a band. That's when he was a heathen. Now he's gotten right with Jesus. And I was like, oh, you played in a band. What'd you do? And he goes, oh, I was a singer and I play guitar. And I looked at him, and it must have been with this look that he went, no. And I said, yeah, that's okay for now. I just let it go. And he goes, what do you mean for now? Yeah, baby. Those days. All right, you give it time. It's going to change. You're going to be up there singing. Now, I didn't say that out loud to him because he was still resisting the leading of the Holy Spirit, because he just, remember, I said heathen. And so it took him a minute to get right. And at any rate, and then he, next thing you know, he's up here singing and putting together a worship team. And man, he is sold out and praising Jesus and works so hard. And then Lauren was like, yeah, I'm not singing. Next thing you know, she's up here singing and praising Jesus. And then others are like, I'm not singing. And they're up here singing and praising Jesus. Like, don't say you're not. I said I wasn't going to be a pastor. I told God, God called me to New York. So I agreed to go to Bible college. I sold my business, sold the house. We sold everything. We moved from Raleigh, North Carolina. We're originally from Ohio, just so you know. But we moved from Raleigh, North Carolina to Springfield, Missouri. I wasn't there 2 months in going to Bible college at 35 years old. And I'm like, I'm sitting around a bunch of these 18-year-old kids. And they looked at me wrong. I go, dude, I will knock you upside the head if you don't listen. And I mean, like, you're a kid to me, right? So at any rate, within 2 months, God says, you're going to New York to be a pastor. To which I replied, God, you got 4 years to change your mind, because I'm not going to New York. And I am not going to be a pastor. I do not want to be a pastor. Nobody in their right mind wants to be a pastor. Okay, that's all I'm saying, right? And God just let it go. And I was like, cool. I won. All right, so we go on with life. Then we're getting ready to graduate. It was Christmas of 05 or December of 05. And I'm graduating May of 06. And Sherry and I were talking, and I said, we got to figure out where God wants us. And she's like, well, how are you going to do that? I go, well, the most spiritual way I know is, and I went out to the motorcycle, opened up the saddlebag, and I pulled out a big paper road atlas. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Picture this. Picture your Google Maps actually as a map that you can physically look at. So we laid it out on the table, opened it up, and we opened it up to a picture of the United States. Yes, they actually had pictures of the United States the way it's laid out. And because you can't see that on Google Maps, I'm just saying, right? Or Apple. Don't use Apple Maps. Those are horrible. At any rate, and so we're looking at a map of the United States, and I told my wife, I said, where do you want to go? And she said, Colorado. I'm in. That's beautiful riding out there, motorcycle riding. I'm in. So I took my finger and I put it on Colorado. I said, call, and said it out loud, Colorado. And it was almost like an audible voice to Sherry and I both. And God said, no. Like, so we looked at each other and you're like, no. So I'm like, okay, where else do you want to go? And so we just started naming states, avoiding New York as much as possible. And God was like, no, 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 no. So then I said, Lord, I'll even go to Kentucky. No. So I looked at my wife and we just had this glance that we surrender. And I said, New York. It was almost audible. Yes. I'm like, junk. All right. Only because salt trucks and politics. People are wonderful. Salt trucks and politics are my kryptonite. Mainly salt trucks. Golly, they destroy everything. We need to sniper the tires when they pull out of the garage. Anyway, and so then watch it happen. And there's someone's going to hear this tape and they're going to come arrest me for snipering tires on a salt truck. And they're going to go, did you do this? And I'm going to say, no, but they needed to be done. Anyway. So then we go to New York and Sherry says, well, New York's a big state. How do we know where to go? I said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start west and work our way east until God says, that's it. So we started in Buffalo and it was no. And then Rochester, and then was it Syracuse, and then Utica, and we worked our way. And it was like every time I'd say this, the city out loud, it was no, 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 no. And then I hit Albany, and it literally was an audible yes. And I was like, golly, man, this is getting real. So we prayed. We might have cried then too. I don't know. And then we put the atlas away. I went to school the next day and I was talking to the dean of men. And he was like, hey, John, what are you doing for Christmas? I go, dude, you're never going to believe this. We're going to drive out to Cleveland because it's originally where we're from and Ohio. And we're going to spend Christmas with Sherry's mom. And then, dude, we're going to take off from there and we're going to go to New York, Albany, New York. And we think that's where God's calling us. And he said, I know a guy. He said, you need to get a hold of Duke Herget. I'm like, okay. So I did. I reached out to Duke and then Duke drove us all around New Year's Day, drove us all. He had a New Year's Eve party, but didn't invite us. Yeah, I said it, Duke. Anyway, so he shows up the next morning and drives us all around. We were staying up exit 9 off the Northway at that Best Western. And he picks us up and drives us all around the capital region. I mean, we were in the car 8 hours. We get back to the hotel that night and I asked my wife, I said, if God were to call us out here, where do you think it would be? And she said, East Greenbush. And I was like, where were you when you got that idea? And she was like, well, we came up to the red light. We go through this dip. We come up to the red light. And there's a True Value on the left, a Pizza Hut on the right, and a KFC across the street. And it was 4 and 9 and 20. And I just started weeping. Because God told me, he told her coming to the red light, he told me after we made a right-hand turn and we were coming up this way, and he said, this is home. And he told her the exact same thing, this is home. And so I remember surrendering to that. That was hard. Mainly because we had never been here before. We didn't know anybody. And we finished up here, and then we drove back to Springfield, Missouri, and we prepared to move. And so I finished up college, and then I sold. So in April, I sold my business. I had started a new business in Springfield, and when I moved there, and then sold that. I built it up enough to sell it. Thank you, Jesus. Sold the business. Sold our house, everything, and then graduated and moved out here in August. It was August 18th. That was a whole nother story in itself where Satan was trying to derail us. At any rate, we move out here August 18th, and then we start the church October 29th. And then here we are 19 years later, just to kind of give you guys an idea how we got here. One of my prayers before we came out, I had three things I asked God for. I said, God, I want to win people to Jesus. Send me to a place where they need Jesus. This is before we knew we were coming to Albany. Send me to a place that needs Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, Albany needs Jesus. Amen. Then my second prayer request was, Lord, give me longevity. I don't want to just be a flash in the pan. I want to show up. I want to build relationships because I'm all about the relationships. I want to build relationships, and I want people to know that they can trust us and they can depend on us. Give me longevity. And then my third one, which is probably the most spiritual prayer request of all of them, Lord, give me wonderful motorcycle riding roads. If you ride New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, some wonderful motorcycle rides. Amen. Amen. Just agree. This is good. And God answered all three. And I just praise him for that. So I told you I'm all about relationships. And what I wanted to do was I want you to hear how God has changed people's lives and how Connecting Point Church had an honor and a privilege to be a part of that. And so what I've done is I've asked Ella, are you ready? Come on up here, girl. So I asked Ella to give her testimony, and really I just, that we're going to spend most of the day with testimony this morning. And don't touch his mic. Girl, I love you already. Look at it. She looked right at Daryl and went. Just get it where you want it. Don't step on that cord, though. All right.
Okay. So I kind of split this up into a couple regions because I didn't really know how to go about this. I've never like publicly said my testimony anywhere to anyone, but I'll just start with before Christ. Ugh. So there's a lot of things in writing this that I realized I lacked a lot. Like there's a lot that I didn't have, and a lot that I didn't believe in. For one, that was true love. Growing up in my home, it wasn't the most like clear depiction of like what a husband and wife, like the relationship they should have and stuff like that. And I didn't really know like how deep love was at the time. I didn't want any kids because kind of like, sorry, mom, but, once again, home wasn't the greatest. And I just like had this feeling in my stomach that taking care of people was a hassle and not a joy. And I didn't know how deep the Father's love is. I had a lot of anxiety, a lot of bad anxiety, that kept me from doing a lot and caused me to do a lot because I didn't have any purpose. I didn't know, like, that I had some type of meaning on this big earth. I didn't have a purpose, so I was seeking answers from the world. I didn't know where to go, so I'd go to movies or social media or music. And I'm sure a lot of you know that's not always the best outlet to go to, but I didn't even understand the concept of wisdom. I was just so spiritually weak at the time. I felt like I always needed to change myself for others. Like, I was so worried about how I was perceived because I didn't, like I said before, I didn't have a purpose. I didn't have, like a reason to be who I am. So I didn't know who I was supposed to be. In 2018, I came to Connecting Point Church, which you said that you moved here in August and you started the church in October. We came to the church in August and I got saved in October. God is so good, but I was only 10 when I got saved. It was 2018. And I was so spiritually on fire because I was so young and I hadn't seen like how capable we are of sin and how dark the world could be. So I was on like a spiritual high. I was reading my Bible every day. I was praying, but then I got older and I started to sin more because now I have all these things around me that are influencing me in the wrong ways. And it was a really hard time in my life. And I could just feel God pulling on me through everything. I felt convicted all the time, but I wasn't opening my ears. I wasn't listening. So I was just living in that conviction like it was normal. There wasn't a specific point that I can remember hearing the truth, but a lot of what Pastor says, him being so hardcore and not shying away from the truth, that was exactly what I needed. If I had gone to a church or continued at the church we were at, where they just kind of preach love and hope and all the goodness, I mean, that would have been great. Maybe I would have been happy, but I would have been living in sin because I wouldn't have realized that conviction is what makes the change. So over these last couple of years, last 2 years specifically, the Holy Spirit has done a lot of work in me. There's a lot of changes I've had to make in my life, which that's something I realized about becoming a Christian. It's not like you have things that you have to do. Jesus died on the cross for us and he did his part. So we also have to pick up our crosses and carry them. God tells us to put him first. So every day I try my best to give him the glory that he deserves. I've given up a lot, lots of opportunities, friends, hobbies that I had, and not because they were all sinful, but because they led me to sin. And it's like what you always say with the poop brownies. If it's just a little, it's worth getting rid of. I pray a lot. That's something that God's really led me with, praying constantly in times of need and to thank him, to praise him, because there's a lot that's happened in my life that could have gone way worse if it wasn't for his hand and the people that he put in it. Now that I'm saved, I have all these answers to all these questions I had because I go to the word of the Lord rather than the world. Worldly wisdom, it's not where it's at. That's there's no comfort in wisdom of the world at all. And there might be knowledge, but how true is it? We know that the Bible is true, but things of the world, lots of questions. Something that has been really hard for me, but that I've been pushing myself to do is spreading this hope and truth and the Lord's gospel. but he's really convicted me to share. And there's been times where I've gone up to people to share and they say no, but I feel so much better for trying and listening to the Lord than not doing it at all. And I'm not perfect. My soul gets shaken a lot, but my faith always stands firm because I have a pastor who tells me the truth. I have youth group leaders. I've had multiple who don't shy away from the truth, and they just preach the Bible as it is. And it's really necessary. And it's helped me to realize that my life isn't all about me. Yeah, Jesus and I are locked in. He showed me true love when he died on the cross. He showed me the joy in caring for others through this church, through his word, the examples in the Bible. He broke the chains of anxiety that bound me to the world, that kept me from speaking his name, that kept me from even just like basic kindness things. I would be scared that I was doing the wrong thing for helping someone else, which is such a crazy thing to think, but I really felt that way. He provided me with truth and delivered me from sin, and he gave me a purpose. And so I'm forever indebted to my Savior, the one true God. And that's my testimony hasn't ended, and it will continue.
For those of you who don't know, the poop brownies. We watched of the skit guys and the kids like, I'm gonna go to the movies with my friends, and he goes, that's not bad. There's just a little bit of language in there, and there's just a little bit of sin in there, and there's just a little bit of, you know, like fill in the blank of whatever's in there. And so the dad's like, no, I don't want you to go. The next day, or that day, the kid comes home from school, he wants to go there. And so dad made him brownies, and he's like, hey, do you like it? And he goes, oh, they're so good. And he goes, can you guess what's in there? And he's like, and he starts going through the ingredients. And then dad was like, hey, you know, the neighbor's dog. Yeah. So, you know, they left a little bit in the yard. So I just put a little poop in there because, you know, and he's like, and he goes, oh, but don't worry. There's just a little bit in there. Just a little bit. Poop brownies. Right. That's awesome. Ella, I have watched you grow up to be a beautiful young lady, to love Jesus and to put yourself out there. For those of you who don't know, Ella started a club in her high school. The church provided Bibles, and she is just meeting and praying and handing out Bibles and trying to reach her classmates. And God bless you for that, because what you're doing is not the most popular. Do you?
Yes.
It's in my office at home. I will bring it next week. I'll bring it Wednesday. She needs a second box of Bibles. Yes. Girl. That's what I'm talking about. And then you said something. Because for those of you visiting, for those of you who are here, some of you know this, some of you don't, but I actually don't preach as hard as I used to. I used to preach really hard. And I used to feel like that is what pushed people away or chased people away. And it did. It pushed a lot away. And so I would go home and I'd ask my wife, or I'd talk to my wife, and I'm like, you know, am I the reason people aren't coming to church, or they're leaving the Connecting Point? Like, is it me? Is it my preaching? You know, everybody else is growing and they're doing wonderful. And then, and I said, is it my preaching? And I had to work through that. And then I just realized, people are just offended with the Word of God. And I don't have a problem preaching the Word of God. And so thank you for encouraging me to just stay on track. Amen. I could, every time I thought I would try to change the way I preached, I quickly went right back to what I've always done and just preached the Word of God. And We're not leaving that. Amen. So I asked Bob and Alicia to share their testimony. And so, yeah, come, don't look at her, dude. Lead. It was an opportunity. I had to take it. He looked at her. I'm like, dude, just go. No, I'm saying, don't do that. So I asked Bob and Alicia to share their testimony because from where they were when they first started here to where they are now and how God has worked in their life and really what God's doing through Bob as of late is just amazing. So I hope you do share that as well. Not that I'm telling you what part of your testimony to share, but I'm telling you what to share. Anyway, no. So come on up here and move. Yeah, you're definitely going to have to move. We'll move it up. No, down. Stop talking to me. Is that high enough for you?
Perfect.
All right. We're going to move a little bit closer. Is that good for you?
Yep. You hear me?
It's not on. It's on?
There you
go. All right. So I'm going to pretend that didn't just happen with Ella. That was awesome, Ella. God bless all the Ponzos. They're great to watch grow. I grew up as a creaster with a Catholic as an inheritance religion. If you guys don't know what creaster is, a pastor introduced me to creasters. It's people who go to church only on Christmas and Easter. I grew up, I had a pretty good childhood. Two parents and way better than I deserve grandparents. As a young teenager, I noticed my dad not being around as much. It wasn't hard to figure out. There was a lot of other things going on, like being at the bar, drinking, and who knows what else. Ultimately, he left when I was 16. Mom was always there. Grandparents, very close with them. So because of that, I was able to stay out of any major trouble. Obviously, there was sinful behaviors as 16, 17, and growing. So then I met Alicia when I was 16 and 12. We got married right away. Just kidding. She was 12. that's when we met. Nothing romantic, nothing till years later. We started dating. I think I was 20 and she was 17 or 18. Anyways, it didn't take us long to realize that we were meant to be and we got married. I had a great job. I was on top of the world. A couple years went by. We had two children. My job became priority and I was traveling. And being away from home, it just led me to sinful behaviors. And we had some minor issues and we had some major issues that we had to work through. Over time, issues grew over time. As much as I said I could fix my marriage, I realized I couldn't fix it. We were both heading out the door away from each other. Church came up and we discussed it and we found a church that we tried out and it helped. Helped a lot. And that was seeds planted. But as time grew on, we We only went at when it was convenient. So I found myself going to church, I found myself wanting to pray the salvation prayer. But it was like I had in my own head that I need to fix myself first. So then over a few more years went by, we had two more children, praise God, and going to church, not as much, you know, kind of slacking on the spiritual life. Issues obviously came back. Marriage became on the rocks again. 2021. I was helping my good buddy. We were delivering milk. And a new customer on the route. This guy came out, you know, first time or two, you know, very talkative. I thought he was a car salesman, the way he was trying to, you know, lead me to his car dealership. But he was a salesman, all right, but he was selling the gospel and preaching the gospel. And if you don't know that, it's our pastor. So I talked to Alicia. I said, let's go church. I found a new church. Let's go to it. And every sermon that I listened to for a year straight was preached right at me. And it grew like heavy on me. And for weeks at one time, I wanted to raise my hand and stand up here and, you know, make it public. Just for some reason I couldn't, because I still wanted to fix myself before I did that. And then through one of pastor's sermons or a couple of them, it taught me that, no, just give it, get saved and give it all to God. I realized I needed to give all my issues as a human, a husband, a father, friend, son, brother, and co-worker to Jesus Christ. June 22nd, 2022, I raised my hand. It was Father's Day. I stood up, gave my life to Jesus Christ. Since then, I failed, sinned, and been wretched. I know I can't be perfect, but I know where to turn. And there's no more, I can just fix it myself now. It's always through Jesus. And now my prayer life is way better. One of my prayers that I pray the most is to love my wife like Jesus loved the church. I pray with my kids a lot more. My wife prays with me every morning before I go to work. And believe it or not, I pray with my coworkers, which can be a very rough crowd. I'm in construction, so if you didn't know that, that's what goes on around construction. But through prayer, I can see my fruits of labor. And it's all because of Connecting Point Church. God bless Connecting Point Church.
Bob and I decided to share our testimonies with each other before today, just to kind of have our own private minute of reflecting. And he shared his with mine, and I said, I'm not speaking. When pastor said, oh, you guys have a couple minutes, at first we were like, oh my gosh, we have to talk for a couple minutes. And then as we reflected together of what God has blessed us with, we realized there's no way we have enough time to even touch on the blessings that God has given us, especially through this church. So we just want to say thank you. So my perspective is a little bit different. I grew up very religious. I had mom and dad. I'm a rule follower. I won't touch him. I grew up with a mom and dad who are still together today. They are Irish Catholics. So I was always a good girl. I was always very authentic to me. I am who I am. I never really changed for anyone. I am who I am. However, as I grew as a young adult into an adult, life got really hard. Anxiety reared its head, and it overtook me. I knew I'd always wanted to be married and have kids young. It was in me since I was a little girl. So when I met Bob at 12, I only had eyes for him. Obviously, we didn't pursue anything till we were a little bit older. But just like Bob said, we knew right away. He proposed when I was 19, I think. So, I thought, wow, this is it. I'm so excited. But we got to about year 2, 3. We had 2 beautiful children. And I was ready to walk away. I was done. Proverbs 14:1 speaks to me, and it says, "The wise woman built her house, but the foolish one tears it apart." And I was that foolish woman. I was tearing my family apart. Even though I was a good girl, I was just breaking it down. I always had 1 foot out the door in my marriage. I never really had a full commitment. You know, based on what my expectations were, was how I felt it went. So I wanted it to be perfect. I wanted my husband to be perfect, my children to be perfect, my families. And I just had this high expectation of people around me. And when they don't get there, it just leads me to walk away. However, that led me more to God, because it was dissolving our relationship. And we talked about going to a church. So we did that, and that helped us. It led us back together, but inevitably it taught us to be better people, but it did not teach us to be biblical people. And I still had 1 foot out the door. God was talking to me and I could hear, but I only accepted it when it fit my narrative. If it fit my plan and my benefit, then I was okay with it. It wasn't until November 2021, December 2021, where Jesus broke me. My marriage was dissolving again. I had lost almost all hope that we were going to stay together. I remember being on my bathroom floor, sobbing and crying out to Jesus, telling him, like, help me, please, anything. I've never felt so alone and defeated and unloved. So my last effort was to, thank you, sorry. My last effort was to submit to Bob. He had been making this request for a while to go to this new church of this guy he met on a milk route who talked to him for hours or seemed like hours. And I was very hesitant. I thought it was a little weird, but I prayed, and I actually at that point wasn't even sure if Bob would even want to still go, if that would be an option, but he agreed. So we started attending at first, just us. And Pastor said during one of his sermons, you know, give this church 3 times. And as a rule following little girl, I said, all right, we're going to give it 3 tries. And I was very cautious, because he was not anyone that I had ever encountered before. He was real. He was honest. He was opinionated. More so, I learned so much. And coming here, I could feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the community of the people here, the leadership that you give, it was incredible. In July 26, 2022, I stood and made public what I feel was my real salvation. Ever since then, it's not been sunshine and roses. I, as a mother, wife, daughter, and friend, my words and my motivations have changed. So even though I still have struggles, it's a different prayer. God has this perfect design, and if we follow it, it still doesn't guarantee us an easy path, but we can have peace in that, which helped my anxiety, which helped me be a better wife, which helped me be a better mother and friend. Through this, you know, Pastor has always been there to guide us. He's always been there to support us. There have been times where I'm still struggling with something and he's there. And even people here, they're there. There was time where he was on vacation and I remember him calling me on vacation. I'm like, who does this? Who has this support? It's been amazing. My commitment to my marriage is no longer one foot out the door. Following God our Father and His Word gives my marriage the peace that no matter the situation or disagreement, this is a lifelong commitment. And it changes how you fight when you know that no one's going anywhere. So you got to look at that person the next day and you got to make sure that you have the right communication to get through it. And one of my prayers has always been a better connection. We've had a hard time sometimes, and through pushing through those fights and knowing that not one foot is out the door, it made our communication better, which made intimacy better and our relationship better. And it was just such a big change of feeling abandoned on the bathroom floor. God has placed this biblical church and these biblical people in our lives. When we go through trials, we now have the correct tools. We have now created a life where we don't have friends that say, you don't deserve him, walk away, leave. You don't deserve to have that. And we have the biblical advice. I find that I go to God and pray, and I now ask for his will and his way, where before my prayers would be, dear God, please tell Bob to do what I want him to do. And I want him to do it right now. But I just, being saved and being through this church really has just, it's changed my heart. It's strengthened my marriage and blossomed my marriage. And Psalm 127 says, sorry, a little ironic. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders will labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches the city, the guards will stand watch in vain. And it's so true. God has to build your house. And it's been amazing. If it wasn't for Pastor sharing the gospel with Bob on that milk route and Bob asking me to come, I don't know where our walk with God would be or where we would be. So I just want to say thank you. And I'm going to just ditto God bless Connecting Point and Pastor. Thank you.
Yeah, I remember the discussions when Bob would come up. And so here's this crazy thing about me. I realize that there's only a small window of opportunity to share Jesus with people. And so I calculate that time. And it was really crazy that, Bob, I don't think you knew, or maybe I've shared with you in the past, I would do this. And Sherry's like, what are you doing? I go, the milk's about to get delivered. And she's like, so? No. The milk's about to get delivered. And I'm telling you, man, I'd throw them slippers on, rain or shine, didn't matter. I'd stand out here, and if it's raining, I didn't care. I'd stick my head up in the van and just, amen. I was all over it. I literally prayed and calculated for that time for you guys to show up. I'd schedule my day to be home for the milk to be delivered. That's so funny. Man, I remember when you guys first came here, and then see where you're at. And every morning you're praying for your boss and your coworkers publicly with them. How sweet is that? Oh, man, I'm rejoicing in the testimonies and the lives saved from a possible massive heartache going through high school without Jesus. Another statistic that loses their children to the world because they went with the world. And now we got children saved and family and everybody coming back together. And so then I thought, you know, there's some testimonies where people have been saved before they got here. And God used them to just hang in there and bless them for their stick-to-itiveness. Even when the struggle seemed almost impossible at times. And so I asked Lisa Freeman, if you'll come on up. I asked her to give her testimony and just share with you what God and Connecting Point Church has done. So give her a hand, because she's incredibly nervous. Don't step on the cord.
Is that all right?
Is that good for you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we'll do this. You still want to see your face.
Yeah, but I'm a rule follower too, and I don't want to touch it. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Just don't drift too far away from it.
Okay. So, Pastor had asked me to speak about what this church has meant to me, and although public speaking is not my forte, I agreed because I think the story that the Lord has written here is one that is important to share. But if you hear a faint drum beat, it's the heart in my throat. So stick with me. Before COVID, I'd been attending another church, which unfortunately was having troubles. Everything shut down during COVID, and then the church had even more problems. By the time things opened back up, I knew I needed to find another church. I hate to admit it, but I was slow to get going, trying to find a new church with two rambunctious boys in tow felt really daunting. I was discouraged and I felt overwhelmed. Then one day, my wonderful friend Lauren, some of you may know her, said her dad was going to be doing a Bible study with the pastor who bought property near them, and she was going to join them. Great, I thought, and I mulled it over. A while later, she told me that they had started attending pastor's church and that her dad was going to sing. Wonderful, I thought. I mulled it over too and decided to tune in online. I soon realized that what I had been learning at my other church was fluff in comparison to the pastor's meat and potato sermons. So by the time Lauren told me that she was joining the worship team, I had mustered up enough courage to actually try going to the church for myself, especially knowing I had a little backup for the boys if they got unruly. When I came, everyone was so friendly, and of course, Pastor with the hugs and Miss Sherry with the hugs, and I was encouraged that I might have found a new church. At that point, Jason, my husband, was what Pastor calls a creaster, like Bob described, Christmas and Easter. So it was about a month before Easter rolled around, and Jason attended with us. I'll never forget that day because we had a very unfortunate vomiting event in the middle of the service. But to everyone's credit, no one batted an eye. Everyone was so helpful and kind. I was even more encouraged. Embarrassed, but encouraged. Now, to back up a little for a minute, I had been praying for more years than I can count for Jason's salvation. I took hold of Luke 1:16-17 and turned it into a plea. Lord, send a man of God. Send an army of men of God, if need be, and the spirit and power of Elijah to turn Jason's heart toward you, toward his children, toward me, to make him ready and prepared for you. Now, if you don't know, that verse refers to John the Baptist. And here's where the Lord showed me some humor, because in walks none other than Pastor John, who loves to baptize. Somewhere in the time when I was mulling things over about coming here and that messy Easter morning, Daryl had brought Pastor over to our garage and he met Jason. Pastor's spidey sense from the Holy Spirit told him that, I believe his words were, "That boy needs Jesus." And so in true Pastor John fashion, the hunt was on, and he set his sights on Jason and met him anytime he could. He came over to the garage, helped out when he could, rode for him in hours up to our camp up north and back in a Ford. And for Pastor, that shows just how dedicated he was to reaching Jason. Although more recently, he's been trying to convince me of how nice a certain large Ford truck is. Pastor never gave up, and he got through to that boy who needed Jesus. Jason and Elijah surrendered their lives to Christ within days of one another, and they both were baptized on the same day. It was truly answered prayer for me, but it didn't stop there. Pastor poured into all of us as we went through the discipleship program, and he continues to pour in us every week here at church and every time we see him. It also doesn't end with Pastor. Last month, I had the opportunity to meet and hear some personal stories of others in the church. As Pastor retold the story about how he set his sights on Jason, Buck chimed in and said, "Oh yeah, I remember praying for him." When he said that, I was absolutely floored by God's goodness and grace. I was so humbled to know that others were praying alongside me, and I never even knew. It hit me the next day. You remember my pleading prayer? Lord, send a man of God. Send an army of men of God. God had answered my prayer more specifically than I had ever known up until that point, because he had sent an army. Buck was part of that army, as were others of you. An army of men of God, a people of God in prayer. I was and still am in awe. Since we began coming to Connecting Point Church, each of us have been welcomed into church services, Sunday school, various church activities, and we have all found so much growth in Bible studies and the community we have through this church and through Wise Life. I'm so thankful and blessed to know so many true believers in this church who seek after the Lord's heart, who model obedience to him, and trust him to work in and through their lives. People so willing to pour into each other through prayer, through meeting needs, through love, gifts, support, and encouragement. Those few years ago, I came looking for a church, but what I found was a family. Thank you, Pastor John. Thank you, Connecting Point Church.
They're back there clapping. Like you're going after a gnat. I thought, what a better way. Thank you guys, by the way. To celebrate Anniversary Sunday than to let the people share what the church is and what the church does and how great our God is. Amen. And how important it is to share the gospel. How important it is to preach the gospel. And how important it is to live the gospel. I'm not going to preach this morning because I don't know that I can do any better than what those who gave testimony has already done. But what I want to do is I'm going to read Psalm 96. If you have your Bibles, you can open it up. I don't know if I gave it to you guys back there at Sound. But Psalm 96. Says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. What's interesting, I looked up all the earth, and it literally, you know how Jesus says, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out? All the earth is literally not just people, but the land, and all of its glory sings unto the Lord. And I thought, man, the majesty, amen, that last song. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news, all his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. I didn't know that my wife had requested the song Majesty. I didn't know that the worship team was going to sing the song Majesty when I pulled Psalm 96 to share today. And I thought, how good is God to just put it all together? Just put it all together. And he goes on, verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. Wait a minute, I missed 7, didn't I? Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. And we might ask, how do we give God glory and strength? How do you give God strength? And it's not give as in we're giving it to him. It's giving acknowledgement that he is glory and strength. And we just have to keep praising Jesus. And I am so thankful that this church has never, ever, not one time abandoned the preaching of the Word of God. Our teachers have never, never, not one time abandoned the teaching of the Word of God. I am to the point black and white. You guys have heard me ask for prayers for Dean. And then you guys know that my friend passed away and I did his wedding. And Wendy and Miranda, his wife and daughter, are here today. And it's giving God the glory that allowed me to even be a part of your lives and your dad, and God bless him. And thank you guys for being here. And you pray for them. But when Dean and I would sit and we just give God glory. And it was the Word of God that drew Dean to this church. And it's the Word of God that got you saved and strengthened. The Word of God that fixed your marriage. The Word of God that brought your husband and God answered your prayers. The Word of God for each and every one of you sitting here, that we have the hope of seeing our loved ones again. It's the Word of God that's going to get you saved. It's the Word of God that's going to get your life fixed. It's the Word of God that will fix every problem and take away all of your anxieties. It's the Word of God. What God gave me was the wonderful privilege to share His Word. And I'm just going to tell you, you look at the lives that have been changed, and you will see, it might have been, you know, I'm a little obnoxious and I got to sell Jesus. Amen. But I also know what He saved me from. And why would I want to cheat anybody out of that? Why would I want to cheat anybody out of the life of freedom and deliverance and strength and promise to see my loved ones again and relationships that would never have happened, would never have been good and never have been healthy except for through the Word of God. And so I just want to encourage you, shout from the rooftops. Give God praise and let people know how strong He is and how glorious He is. Verse 11, I'm just going to jump down to 11. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and all the peoples with His truth. And so all the more reason to share the gospel and give God glory and give God praise. I'm going to ask my wife to come up here. And any of you that know my wife, where's she at? She's not moving yet. She is short, so she might have stood up and I've not known it. Oh, stop it. Come on up here, baby. I'm not going to ask my wife to speak because she would struggle with that. No ministry of any kind will make it without your wife beside your side. And my wife has been beside my side all through these 19 years and the years prior to coming up. And I'm just going to tell you, if it wasn't for my wife praying for me, because I was much like Jason, hard-hearted, and I needed Jesus. And my wife prayed for me. We were separated at the time. We never divorced, so I'm still qualified to be a pastor. And my wife prayed for me. As a matter of fact, the church that played the Majesty song to send us off had this Red Dot Sunday, and it's when people still wore watches. And her and I were separated, had been separated for almost 2 years, year and a half. And I was my wife's red dot to pray for every day. Every time she looked at her watch, she'd pray for me, someone who had hurt her deeply. And then one day, God puts an old truck in our path where I bought it, and then I needed to move it, and her driveway was open, hadn't talked to her since we had separated, and I needed a place to park a truck, and so I was desperate. And I knocked on her door, and I said, I need a place to park my truck. Can I put it in your driveway? And she's on one condition. Ah, junk. What? You come to church with me on Sunday. Now, me being detail-oriented and always looking for an escape, said, one Sunday? Let's clarify this. And she said, one Sunday. And here we are, 31 years later. loving Jesus, serving Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, without my wife, ministry would not be what it is, and I wouldn't be in it. And so give my wife a hand for all of her hard work and dedication as well. The power of a praying woman. I don't know other than Jesus and the Lord that anything is stronger. The power of prayer. The leading of your home. As men, you lead your home. Men, your wives and your children will follow you if you do it God's way. They'll also follow you if you don't for a little while. Young kids, your kids to me when you're anything under 30 now. Golly. The power of standing strong and seeing it's okay to share Jesus and win your friends to Jesus. Because you can go home at night and pillow your head knowing that you're okay. What difference does the church make? I believe that a gospel preaching church filled with people that love Jesus will reach people that don't love Jesus, and then they'll become people that love Jesus. I believe a gospel preaching church will absolutely revolutionize your thinking, your heart, and your actions, and change the very world around you. I believe that a gospel preaching church is what God is desiring today and in this time when the world is just going sideways and the church as a whole seems to be going with it. A gospel preaching church is so rare today that if you find it, you hold on to it and become a part of building it and building others and doing something greater than just your own agenda, your own dreams, or your own whatever. Get on board with Jesus. Invest in people's lives. And man, you'll just start changing them one at a time, one family at a time, one town at a time, one nation at a time, if the Christian and those who love Jesus will only stay faithful. Guys, thank you this morning. Thank you for being here.